Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 2. In the last edition of SNU, I talked about qi, the life force within us that animates and directs our soul and spirit. Qi is the active principle of anything alive. It's a broad term for the natural energy of the universe. Qi permeates our being and exists all around us. There is inherent qi and acquired qi. Both are critical for balance. What we eat greatly affects our qi, as does how we live and what we think about. There is no life without qi. On this edition of Clinical Review, I want to discuss the concept of cheating, as in cheating on your diet. Some nutrition experts actually promote a lifestyle of dietary cheating as a means of release, provided it is controlled, planned, and monitored. Others say not to get hung up on the right or and wrong of nutrition, that food is just fuel for the fire and that ultimately it's just not that important. Some say that striving for perfection creates guilt when we fail, and that such guilt is what leads to binging and eating all kinds of harmful food. Dietitians are stuck on calorie counting. They say that we can eat anything, that nothing is forbidden, and that it's all just a matter of calories in and calories out. So what do you think about cheating? Is it okay to cheat on ourselves? Is the concept of cheating relative or absolute? To cheat means to defraud, mislead, swindle, deceive, or violate a set of rules. So what do you think about cheating on your diet? Should you go straight during the week and cheat on the weekends? Should you cheat every day? Not at all. What does cheating accomplish? Some experts recommend cheating to compensate for our natural tendency to break the rules, like a means of releasing steam to prevent the lid from blowing off. But why is steam building up? Where is it coming from? Many of us use food to pacify emotions such as depression or loneliness. Others simply give in to temptation. They can resist anything as long as it remains outside of arm's reach. Does cheating lead you astray or protect you from doing something worse? Does it make you stronger or weaker? If cheating in school is forbidden by teachers and the public education system, and generally not encouraged by parents, then why is cheating on our diet acceptable? Is there a difference in type or degree of cheating? Could you explain to your daughter why she shouldn't cheat on a school exam? What would you say to your son who wants to take steroids to play football, even though they are clearly banned? The saying, cheaters never prosper, can be explained like this. If you cheat people, they will not continue to do business with you, and so your business will fail. Is it okay to break the law for personal gain? Does it matter to anyone anymore? Does anyone care? We are judged by how we judge others. Are the principles we teach or enforce worth living by? In the documentary Bigger, Faster, Stronger, director Christopher Bell tells the story about himself and his two brothers who grew up idolizing their muscular heroes, Hulk Hogan, Sylvester Stallone, and, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, only to discover that all of them were members of a steroid subculture who broke all the rules. The message is clear. In a country preoccupied with being the biggest, strongest, and fastest in the world, you will never win in sport, business, or war if you don't cheat. Take a look at what's happening to the health and welfare of America today. Is that how you want to end up? Cheating anytime, anywhere, seldom brings us closer to the enlightened path of health and wellness. Is it less harmful to eat something detrimental if no one is looking? If we know it's wrong and do it anyway, perhaps the best advice is to listen to reason. But where is reason when we need it most? Have you ever watched Cheaters on TV? It's a reality show that actually videotapes spouses and lovers caught live in the act of infidelity using surveillance cameras. At cheaters.com, you'll find a webpage dedicated to explaining exactly what infidelity is. Now, as you listen to this description that I found on their website, I want you to think in terms of cheating on your diet as if you were cheating on your spouse. So here we go. Regardless of their religious orientation, most people agree and understand that marriage vows implicitly and explicitly include a promise of forsaking all others. When this promise is broken, infidelity has occurred in a marriage. While adultery is more concretely defined as voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man or woman with someone other than his or her spouse, experts disagree on precisely what infidelity entails. There is, however, a growing consensus that infidelity is not limited to sexual unfaithfulness, but that it also occurs when a spouse forms a strong emotional attachment outside of marriage. According to Lusterman, infidelity can take on several different forms. He defines an affair as an extramarital involvement that takes place over time. Affairs can be emotionally intense, but non-sexual relationships, purely sexual involvements with no emotional bond, or can include both sexual and emotional involvement. The bottom line is that establishment of a committed relationship, if there is a secret sexual and or romantic involvement outside of the relationship, it is experienced as infidelity. The bottom line is that upon establishment of a committed relationship, if there is a secret sexual and or romantic involvement outside of the relationship, it is experienced as infidelity. Statistics on the frequency of adultery or infidelity in the United States are hotly debated and difficult to gauge accurately. Many people provide false responses during studies of infidelity. Also, studies do not tend to take into account a person's entire life, but focus their questioning only on a person's current marriage. So how many people commit infidelity? According to Peterson, after reviewing 25 studies of infidelity, renowned psychologist and marital researcher Shirley Glass, author of several books on the subject of infidelity, estimates that 25% of wives and 44% of husbands have committed infidelity. This, however, does not include emotional affairs in which no sexual activity has taken place. So there you have it. That is their description of infidelity, and it seems to be quite common. And now I want you to compare cheating on your diet to cheating on your husband or wife. I know this sounds extreme, but somebody asked me, Corey, what do you think of cheating? And I'm talking about cheating on diet. And I said, well, what do you think about cheating on your husband or wife? Is it okay to cheat on them one day a week, just like your diet? And that person said, oh, that's way too extreme, and that's not a good example. I said, well, think about it. Think about every reason why you don't think it's good for your husband to cheat on you, and then relate that to diet. And I bet you we can come up with principles that are exactly the same. So let's explore the downside of cheating in marriage and relate or compare the concept to cheating on your diet. Now, the first thing that comes to mind, I made a list, is that when you cheat on your spouse, you risk sexually transmitted disease. You can contract infection. You could, if you're the female, you could get pregnant. You could also bring those diseases home and then infect your innocent wife or husband, which would certainly not be fair to them. Then there is your conscience. Can you live with what you're doing? Does it eat away at you inside? Or is your conscience seared? You don't care. You're out of love and you're just looking to fill the gap. Now, when we eat food that's harmful, damaging, and toxic, and refined, and fragmented, it is going to put you at risk. Okay, it causes damage in the same way that there's a certain amount of risk involved with extramarital activity. You know, hygiene is very important, obviously. But still, you could contract AIDS in this day and age now and bring that home as well. So what can you get by eating garbage? What can happen to your body and your brain and your arteries and in the insides? And how would that affect your pregnancy? And how would that affect your son or daughter if you were doing that to them and feeding them the same garbage that you're eating? I don't think it's going to do anyone any good ever. Okay, now your conscience, if you are into health and you are teaching, you are advising, you're a health practitioner, how is your conscience going to be affected while you get up in front of people and tell them to eat health food? Meanwhile, you're garbing out, you're binging out, and you're eating garbage on the side. You're buying buckets of Haagen-Dazs, you're eating cookies, you're eating crap and sugar and lard and margarine and all the stuff that you tell people not to eat. How is that going to affect you long term? I think you're going to experience a moral slide. I think you're going to cave in on the inside, and it's going to get worse and worse. Now, the other thing about infidelity is that you lose the intimacy with your partner. And there is a certain amount of intimacy and connection to whole, real food that you will lose. The connection that you have will be gone. Is the pleasure worth the pain? In other words, when you pleasure yourself outside of marriage and you experience that for a day or a night, that excitement, that passion, is it worth the pain that is possible to experience? Is it worth the damage that may or may not come? You know, there's a certain amount of excitement that's involved in having an affair. But eventually that wears off, the novelty wears off, and sooner or later you're going to get dumped or that person's going to dump you. So what does it do ultimately in the end? Well, the study and the research shows not a lot of positive outcomes are experienced by people when they do this. So the motive of why we do what we do is what it's all about. There's a certain risk of addiction. There are people that have sexual addictions, and that there's an addiction complex tied in with their emotional state. The same thing applies to food. There are many, many people that are addicted to food. They're addicted to sugar. They're addicted to fat. And they use food as a soother to emotionalize their feelings of loneliness, despondency, and depression. And my goodness, there is a better way. When you get into health food on whole food, it stabilizes you. It makes you feel better. You look better. Your self-esteem goes up. When you eat garbage and feel like crap the next day, it's not going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel worse. So in the same way that you put everyone in the family at risk in terms of breaking up the family when you commit adultery, there is the same risk involved with eating the garbage. How many men die prematurely of heart attacks because they will not give the sausage and the grind and the greasy fried food? They will not give up their fast food. They will not give up their false food, their dead food, their sterile food, even when they are dying. It's like people who won't stop smoking when they're in their cancer ward with lung cancer and they're dying. So what's all that about? So, you know, you've got a lot of variables, and it's a multidimensional thing here. But when families break up, it hurts the kids. And when you break apart, when you break up as a result of eating the way that you're eating, that's going to cause a lot of damage, a lot of misery, and a lot of sorrow. I've seen it time and time again. When one of the parents dies and leaves the family behind in sorrow. It just happened to me recently where someone died in our family recently at 49. And believe me, it was not a pleasant experience. And when you isolate their lifestyle and try and come up with why they died prematurely, you will discover that a lot of it had to do with lifestyle and nutrition and fitness. And then finally, the commitment. Where's the commitment? Do you have a commitment to this individual in your marriage, in your relationship? Marriage is a state of mind. It's how you define it, what that means to you. Certainly, marriage does not guarantee that you're never going to get divorced. There are millions of people that went into marriage thinking that they're never going to get divorced, that are divorced now, and are even on their second and third marriage. So being married is no guarantee. A piece of paper does not guarantee love. There's no security in the piece of paper. It's a state of mind. It's how you feel mainly about yourself, and how that other person feels mainly about themselves, and how you two feel about each other. It's a commitment. So how do you feel about health food? How do you feel about eating well? How do you feel about wellness? Do you want to stay well? Is that what you want? Or do you want to be sick? Because there's a connection in science between what you eat and how you feel and how you look and whether you die prematurely or not. Do we understand the risk and biological consequences of eating refined food? If we add prescription drugs to the mix and eliminate exercise, can we expect anything but disaster? The rules put forth in the sport of life are designed to protect us, not rob us of enjoyment or the joy of fun in the process of life. Is living free of pain and degenerative disease worth the price? The original diet of mankind would be considered extreme by today's standards. Refined food didn't exist for most of humanity's existence. And science confirms that back in the day, everyone, everywhere on the planet, ate nothing but whole, natural, real food. Isn't clean, pure food at all times better than a diet tainted by greed and corruption? Temptation is hard to resist, so we need a strong defense. To do it right requires knowledge, devotion, and a strong sense of self-esteem and self-worth. It takes time to learn and patience to put the right gear in motion. Many of us will have to undo years of negligence and abuse, but the remedy isn't nearly as complicated as putting it in motion day in and day out. The hardest part is staying on track. Every one of us is drawn away when we ourselves are enticed and baited by our own lust and passion. When our desire for immediate gratification is conceived, it's very difficult to resist, especially when it's driven by emotion and the thought of obtaining pleasure in a state of pain or mental discomfort. The next time you look at a man or woman with lust in your eyes, think of the downside. That's what I do with junk food. I think of the damage first, and then I think of how much I love my health food and how good it is to me. That's how I nip any temptation in the bud. Right away, immediately, I put the desire to death before I let my mind wander and persuade myself to follow my dark side. The force has a dark side, and it will always try to lure you in with thoughts that feed your sense of pleasure and desire. When Darth Vader was young, he was lured away by a combination of pride, disobedience, and deception. So let's be careful out there. The reason the dark side is dark is because it can lead to our own destruction by our own hand. The upside of whole food is that it heals and restores. Let's focus on that. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from English poet and writer Samuel Johnson. It is better to suffer wrong than to do it, and happier to be sometimes cheated than not to trust.